From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block. Here's a list of names. Ready? Stranded at Second, Cheap Date, Out Cold, and I'm Not Dead Yet. Believe it or not, those are the formal scientific names of certain fruit fly genes, and thereby hangs a tale. Who better to tell it than NPR science correspondent Robert Krulwich?
One of the privileges of being a scientist is when you discover something new, say you found a new gene that no one has ever seen before, and let's make it a fly, you get to name it, and you can give it any name you like. Most scientists are very traditional, so with genes, which are little bits of DNA, they use a number and letter formula.
N004C.
Which is kind of boring, but there is a group of scientists, fruit fly geneticists.
I gotta admit, I'm one of them.
Who have decided, and they've been doing this for years, says Professor Jerry Coyne of the University of Chicago, to get a little frisky when they name genes.
Well, sitting at the lab for 6 or 7 hours a day staring at flies under the microscope, your mind goes off in sort of strange directions.
So, a few years ago when Jerry discovered a gene, it was a mutant gene that made his fruit flies very purple. The name he chose for that gene was Zinfandel.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
After the purple grape. And that is now the official scientific name for the gene.
Yeah. We have the liberty to use those kind of names. I mean, someday they may crack down on us.
But in the meantime, here's what fruit fly geneticists call a gene that makes a fruit fly with no external genitalia, no visible genitalia. They call it the Ken and Barbie gene.
That's right.
That's the scientific name. And maybe my favorite gene name of all of them comes from the Monty Python movie The Holy Grail, set during the Black Plague. Where, if you've seen the film, you remember there's a guy with a wheelbarrow who comes down the street crying,
"Bring out your dead!
Bring out your dead!" And one of the bodies about to be dumped into the wheelbarrow keeps saying, "I'm not dead yet, I'm not dead yet." Or in the musical version on Broadway, he sings,
"I am not dead yet, I can dance and I can sing. I am not dead yet, I can do the Highland thing. I am not dead yet, no need to go to bed. No need to call the doctor, because I'm not yet dead."
So naturally, when fruit fly geneticists discovered a gene that helps fruit flies live much, much longer than expected, they chose to call it INDY, spelled I-N-D-Y, which stands for I'm Not Dead Yet.
We're just having too much fun, you know. How often do you get to put a little humor in your day-to-day work?
Of course, not all geneticists turn genes into jokes. It's just the habit of fruit fly geneticists.
We're nerds, you know. We're not computer nerds that sit up all night and drink Mountain Dew, but we have our own ways of being geeky, and one of them is to give funny names to things.
And by the way, there's a scientific benefit here, says Jerry, because good jokes stay in people's heads. So if you're, say, a research scientist working on mammals or on porcupines, and you find an unusual group of animals with really long lives, the I'm not dead yet joke reminds you there's such a thing as longevity genes. Fruit flies have them. So maybe your critters have them, too. Jokes help you remember your science, says Jerry.
I think so. I mean, how can you forget the name? Look, you know the name of a gene. I'm not dead yet, right? I mean, how many genes can you name in your own body? This is a gene that's in flies. So, yeah, it helps you remember them. And it tells you what they do.
And yet, in 2006, a London-based group, the Human Genome Nomenclature Committee, announced that some of these names are so potentially offensive to people, they should be banned right now. And because the committee is backed by major scientific journals, three of the names, Lunatic Fringe, Manic Fringe, and Radical Fringe, were banned as inappropriate, demeaning, and pejorative in humans.
There you go. Good for them. And I agree with them.
Dr. Murray Feingold runs a birth defect center in Massachusetts.
I'm a genetic clinician.
So he sees lots of patients with dwarfism and genetic cancers and diseases. And just because a genetic mutation turned up first in a fruit fly doesn't mean it's only in fruit flies.
Ultimately, some of them will become mutations.
In humans.
In humans, without question.
And because those genes were first discovered in fruit flies, those genes keep their fruit fly names. That's a problem, says Dr. Feingold. Because if a patient one day walks into his office and says, tell me, doctor, what's the name of my defective gene? And by the way, does that ever come up?
Oh, sure it does. People want to know the gene and what the problem is and how does it go wrong.
So they actually ask, what gene?
Well, they're very sophisticated. Not everybody, of course, but they're very sophisticated. And if you go online...
Dr. Feingold says these days people with gene problems have websites and chat rooms and advocacy groups. They read, they share, they know a lot.
The days where the doctor could say you have XYZ are over.
Now, that doesn't mean you have to tell them, well, you have the Barbie and Ken gene. I mean, they got to be...
Well, what am I going to call it then, for example?
You give it an abbreviation of some kind, right?
But they'll just tell the patient a name that won't be funny.
Exactly. You call it KAB, short for Ken and Barbie. The patient's not going to...
Why should I hide what the name of the gene is?
Well...
There should be no need for that.
Yeah, but you're making no effort at all to help the research scientists who find these jokes useful because they're so descriptive. I mean, what's more descriptive than I'm not dead yet? It tells you exactly what it does. It keeps you alive.
Oh, yes, except when that gene becomes responsible for some type of medical problem, and I have to tell that patient, well, I'm sorry things don't look good because you have I'm not dead yet gene. And they'll look at me, and rightfully so. Are you a physician? Or are you a scientist? What are you with those type of terms?
These jokes would be fine, says Dr. Feingold, if they were inside jokes, known only to scientists. But now with the internet, people can discover what scientists are saying to each other, so there's no privacy anymore.
So there is no such thing as inside jokes. The inside jokes are now becoming outside jokes.
So people who would never know about the Ken and Barbie genes, now they know. And even if scientists tried to hide their jokes, the media wouldn't let them.
The reason you're talking to me is of this subject, and this will be reported.
So I guess I should just shoot myself.
Well, not if you have the you're not dead yet gene. You'll be all right.
The nomenclature committee in London told NPR there may be further occasion to ban even more joke names.
And so, you know, someday it's all going to revert back to very dry numbers and, you know, letters instead of names. But and if they took away that privilege, we'd still do our work and we'd still have fun, but something would have vanished from the culture.
Fruit fly geneticist Jerry Coyne. I'm Robert Krulwich, NPR News.